You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
My number one album, big shocker to me, also Folklore.
Whoa.
Are you ready to dive into all things Taylor Swift?
Good for a Weekend is the ultimate podcast for any Swiftie.
With new episodes dropping bi-monthly, as well as bonus episodes to give you real-time reactions to the latest rumors and news, it's your one-stop shop for all things T-Swift.
We also love connecting with our fellow Weekenders, so be sure to connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and or Discord to share all your Taylor thoughts.
Good for a Weekend is available wherever you get your podcasts.
I know.
Folklore just is that. Like, it's a perfect album.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello, and welcome to the Spark Parade, a show where I geek out with artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Unz, at Spark Parade on all social media. Thanks so much for joining me. So, today, my little Aussie Kiwi mini season is coming to a close. Boo! But I am going out with a tremendous bang. Yay! My guest today is singer-songwriter Lady Hawk, who joins me to speak about her Spark, The Last of Us game series. Pretty fucking exciting, right? This one was so fun. Lady Hawk, aka Pip, was just the kindest, warmest, funniest person, and I had such a good time chatting with her. So let's cut the bullshit and get to the interview. Quick Lady Hawk facts. Lady Hawk is the stage name of New Zealand singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Pip Brown. Lady Hawk has been linked to a wave of 1980s-influenced, individualistic, androgynous female musicians who emerged in the late 2000s. She has also drawn inspiration from the music of the 90s, including Nirvana. To date, she has released 3 studio albums, and her 4th, Time Flies, will be released this Friday, November 19th. Quick Last of Us facts. The Last of Us series is an action-adventure survival horror video game franchise developed by Naughty Dog and published by Sony Computer Entertainment for the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 consoles. The series takes place in a post-pandemic United States after an outbreak of the Cordyceps brain infection in the year 2013, which has decimated nearly 60% of humankind. The first game follows Joel, a hardened middle-aged survivor of the outbreak, who meets a brave young girl named Ellie, who is wise beyond her years. Their adventures across America showcase real emotion while still maintaining a high level of action involving other human survivors and the infected. The sequel picks up the action 5 years after the events of the first game. Both titles have been highly successful and are considered to be two of the best video games of all time. And there you have it! Armed with that knowledge, let's forge ahead towards a conversation. Here comes my chat with Lady Hawk about The Last of Us. The first question always is, do you remember discovering this for the first time or being turned on to it?
Yeah, I it was, so the first Last of Us game came out on PS3, I think.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, 8 years ago today.
Yes, I did see that. Actually, I did see the Naughty Dog post.
Yeah.
It came out. So what is that, 2013?
Yeah.
Was. Yeah. So I just moved to the States. I was living in LA. And I had my, like, a PS3 that I'd had for ages. And I remember I pre-ordered The Last of Us because I saw the, you know, the build up to it and like the trailers, and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. I just got obsessed. It's one of those games that I finished and then started again and played and played and played and played.
Yeah.
It's one you can keep going back to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that first question is kind of, there's an obvious answer to it because it was like everywhere. And, you know, it's a big games company anyway, and everybody was very excited for whatever they were going to release. But knowing, you know, what the themes were and everything, it was, something that sounded very exciting.
And I was an Uncharted fan, so I'd been playing all, I'd played all the Uncharted games at that point, and was really excited for this new sort of zombie post-apocalyptic one. I'm obsessed with that sort of theme as well. So I'd always loved the way the gameplay was in Uncharted. Mm-hmm. Like the characters, the storyline was always so strong. So I had high hopes for The Last of Us, and it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, and I think that is a pretty one of the things that Naughty Dog is known for is like caring as much about the story as they do about the gameplay, about the way it looks, all of those things.
Yeah, and you know, paying attention to getting someone amazing to actually write the story, which I think is really cool, as opposed to just like going, here's a cool game idea, let's do it.
right. It feels really cinematic. And I think, having this like really solid foundation of a story and the way that it kind of seamlessly flows from the sort of exposition, the, you know, the scenes that you're watching into gameplay, where it's almost like there have been times when like I get really motion sick from playing computer games, and I watch my husband play this game, and I have to kind of watch through my fingers sometimes because I get really motion sick. But still, like watching him when it'll like, you know, we're watching a little interlude scene, and then it's like, oh fuck, it's like time to go, because
you're in the game all of a sudden. The way they blend that is so good, the cut scenes with the all of a sudden you're controlling the character. It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, and the way that it looks as well is just totally amazing, the attention to detail.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah,
there's nothing that they haven't done, you know. And I love, and I know we're talking about the first one, but I love in the second one where you're walking through like the remains of a town, I can't remember what it is, and you see the pride flag crossing, the zebra crossing on the ground, and it's all cracked. And then you walk into a bookstore, and it's like a queer bookstore, and you could pick up books and stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah. And
those details.
Right. Yeah. And they're like, you know, taking the time to say, even if there are things that aren't necessarily essential to the plot, building a world that feels real.
Yeah.
And there are some things like that in the second one when it is in Seattle, like my sister lives in Seattle. And so, you know, I'm familiar enough with it that it's like, oh, that's this thing. And it's like, you know, it's all crumbling and it's overgrown with weeds and stuff, but you can still see that it's the place it's supposed to be.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. I love the Seattle part. So good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess on the same note of having like, you know, a pride rainbow street crossing and a queer bookstore and stuff, having like, I think any queer person in the first game kind of felt like Ellie was probably queer.
Yep. I was like, I picked it. I was like, she's totally queer. Like, she's, and when they came out with Left Behind, which was the DLC, I was like, yes.
So
elated that they went there. I was like, they could have just not gone there, but they did it, and they did it so beautifully. They gave her this beautiful backstory, and really tragic and sad, and it's so human, you know, like it was just great. And then they went, you know, all in The Last of Us 2, which I'm so glad about.
And I think in The Last of Us 2, like having it, knowing that it's going to be the biggest game of the year, it's, you know, it was delayed and like everybody's just going crazy waiting for it to be out. And having such a high profile game with a queer lead character, having like a trans character in the game.
Yep.
And not giving a fuck what people think, like, you know, getting shit from people and being like, sorry, you don't like it. You can go somewhere else.
Exactly. And having someone like Abby as well, who's just this jacked badass, who's like, I'm just going to fuck you up, you know? And like, dudes couldn't handle how jacked she was. Like, you know, like bros at game were just like, why does she look like that? You know, it's gross. Right. It's like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. Like, they're portraying this woman how she probably would be. She's driven and determined, and she's like pushed her body to the edge and like got herself primed for this apocalypse, you know? Like,
totally.
She's not taking any prisoners.
Right. Yeah. And I think also just having Ellie's coming out be this thing that was kind of dealt with in the interim between the two games means that the second game doesn't need to focus heavily on like a coming out narrative. And it's like, it's already accepted. Everybody knows she's queer and she has a girlfriend and who cares? That's like, it's important, but it doesn't, they're not like pausing to say, this is a very special moment in this game where we introduce this subplot.
Yeah, yeah. Like, look what we're doing.
right. And I think that's it as well. Like having, being forward thinking enough, being progressive enough, I guess. I mean, like the idea that having a queer character is like something that's monumental that people need to be congratulated for is like, I wish we were past that by now.
Totally.
just being able to have a queer character in a game and just very seamlessly blending that in with all of the rest of the stuff that's happening. And it's just like, it's just another part of who she is. And it's an important part of who she is, but not saying that that has to be the thing to drive the narrative. And that's the thing that I'm always really hungry for with queer stories is it's like queer people do all of the things that straight people do, that cis people do. And we don't need to have every single story be like, but this is also the gay story. And we need to really emphasize the fact that it is gay.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think that speaks to a broader thing about all of the stories, all of the characters in both of these games, that one of the things that makes them so compelling is that, as we said before, it's so well written and the way the relationships between the characters feel so believable and it makes you really invested in them. So it's like upsetting when someone dies and it's upsetting when, you know, you have to do things like, you know, killing people or whatever.
Yeah.
It feels like there are real stakes instead of just, you know, a computer game where you're just shooting people randomly and there's no like emotional weight behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Like when they flip the table and you know, you've been playing as Ellie and then you all of a sudden you're playing as Abby and you sort of flip flop between Abby and Ellie and you come to like love Abby and you get to know her and her journey and you totally understand her. And there's that scene at the end of the game where you're Abby. Are you Abby? No, you're Ellie, and you cut down Abby from the she's like suspended on a like a cross type thing.
Crucifix
on the beach.
Yep.
And you have to cut her down, but then you fight her and you basically have to like you really fuck her up.
Right.
I can't actually like in my memory I'm like because it was so I love both the characters so much and it flip flopped between the two of them. I actually can't remember if in that bit you were Ellie trying to kill Abby or if you're Abby trying to kill Ellie.
I think
you're Abby.
I thought it was Ellie.
Because I know.
Because bite her fingers off.
Ellie lets her go, right? And then Abby and Lev get in the boat and sail off to Catalina.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that I loved how it did that. It made you empathize with the sort of person you thought you were going to be, you know, this is the person I'm supposed to hate,
totally.
But you end up loving them. And then, you know, Ellie herself is conflicted about, you know, she's angry at Joel for lying to her. She's so angry. She wanted to die, you know, she wanted to die for the cause. So she's angry as well. And, but then Abby went and killed Joel and it's just endless.
Yeah. And like both of those relationships, the relationship between Ellie and Joel and the relationship between Ellie and Abby, they both play on this idea of like, who is the hero? Who is the villain? And it's all about perspective. Yeah, and
exactly.
It makes me think of, so there was somebody was talking about I don't remember. This is not a very good start to this anecdote because I don't remember anything about who said it or what the context was, but it was something about like seeing two sides of a war and being able to say that, like, you know, even though you're fighting the war on the side of your country, recognizing that in the country you're fighting against, the enemy is you, and that the whole narrative is that we are right, and the things that are going on in our country are the things that should be happening everywhere. And it's like just trying to, I think they do a really good job of, like you said, infusing everything with empathy, making you think about everything from each character's perspective instead of just saying Ellie is the hero, she's the one who's right. That it's so much more complicated than that.
Yeah, it shows you that everyone's a little bit of a hero and a villain at the same time. You know, you can do horrible things, but you can also do incredibly heroic things and selfless things. Right. And Abby does both of those, and so does Ellie. So, I mean, Ellie's makes some real asshole choices, you know?
Yeah.
But she also does some incredibly amazing, heroic, beautiful things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. I love that they did that, though. Mm-hmm. It's great. I don't think a game's ever made me feel that way before. Like, I got to the end and I was so emotional.
Time for a quick break, because somebody's got to keep the lights on around here. But we'll be right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And, you know, that, again, it's like that cinematic feeling that it's like watching a really good, really devastating movie that kind of, and also just pushing beyond the tropes of the genre, not just having a zombie game where it's just like, yeah, you're just killing zombies and, you know, there's no like emotional weight behind any of the decisions that you're making. And also the fact that the zombies are almost not quite incidental, but they're like on the periphery of what's happening. And it's the human dynamics that are the ones that really matter. And introducing all of these, you know, just the fireflies and whatever the religious cult is called.
Oh,
and,
yeah. The
Seraphites?
Seraphites.
Having like just showing a little bit of the dynamics of all of these splintering groups and like their belief systems and people trying to escape from those belief systems or trying to get other people to adhere to them. And it's an incredible amount of complexity to the story. And then on top of that, the gameplay is complex and the design of the city is really complex. So it's kind of mind boggling. It really immerses you in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's incredible.
Also, just
getting back to that whole kind of heroes and villains thing, thinking about like the character development from the characters who are in both games, the way that their storylines progress, and like kind of dealing with the fallout from what Joel has done in the first game in the second game, and having that, you know, he's like, Ellie is his kind of surrogate daughter and is like, in his mind, he wants to protect her and do right by her in the way that he wasn't able to for his own daughter.
Yeah.
And making these really tough decisions. And I was reading something, a review of the second one, where they were talking about the end of the first game, saying that you get to a point where you think it's a decision point at the very end where you have to kill the surgeon. And it's like, oh my God, you don't get to choose. Like, you have to do this.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
Yeah. It's just like horrifying and upsetting, but also like you understand where he's coming from, that this is somebody who's been through so much trauma and is like, I can't lose another daughter.
Yeah.
Like really heartbreaking.
It's horrible. Yeah. They really take you on an emotional journey there with Joel. And, it's, you know, the second game, I thought it was a real shame that that someone at Naughty Dog, whoever it was, leaked the, do you remember when that happened? Someone leaked the script and it came out way like before the game was supposed to come out that Joel died.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the whole script, I don't think. I feel like it was part of the script, but basically people found out that Joel died and the backlash was horrendous. And like the incredible voice actress that was playing Abby was just getting inundated with hate mail and just she was getting abused, and like they were getting, just the whole game was getting trolled by every troll you could imagine, you know, gutted it without even knowing the story or anything. And I was so disappointed. I was like, not in the leak, I was disappointed in people. I was like, come on, like, yeah, Joel's amazing, but we don't even know the story yet. You need to like play it first and see, you know. And I think people got really like angry that it then became about Ellie and Abby as opposed to about Joel and Ellie. And it's just really I was so disappointed in humanity after that. I mean, humanity disappoints me many times, but I was like, come on, guys. Like, it's just a bunch of angry bros that were so like, so threatened by like Joel being killed off and Ellie and Abby being the like leads, you know. It just was really disappointing.
Yeah.
Poor old Joel.
Yeah. And I think that goes to the kind of rabid fandom when it comes to computer games, that you get that with comic books and with, you know, movies like, you know, Star Wars and stuff, like people freaking out about John Boyega being cast in Star Wars and being like, there are no black people in Star Wars.
Oh,
but I think there's a special kind of venom that comes from these fanboys, and, you know, I'm assuming mostly white, straight, cis, fanboys who are like, I don't want anything but me reflected in the games that I play, because it's not just something that you're viewing passively. You're interacting, you're in charge. And so they want to feel like I can relate to every second of this, and there's no room for anything that isn't like exactly who they are.
Yeah, I know. And that's why, like, in the past, female leads in a game have been portrayed like, you know, Lara Croft, for example, like in the very early PlayStation versions of Lara Croft, like PS1, I'm talking, there was like so she's very like, you know, big boobs and very beautiful and, you know, not wearing much clothing.
Right.
And there was a code you could do with your controller where you would hit it in a certain way and it would make her boobs just go humongous. So then you could like play as her with these huge boobs. It's just ridiculous. You made me so angry. I'm like, why is that necessary? So then, like, you know, games were doing these sorts of things to appease these, you know, cis dudes that couldn't fathom playing a woman unless they found her sexually attractive, you know? Right. So the thought of like controlling someone like Abby, who's way too jacked, you know, or Ellie, who's a lesbian, you know, God forbid, like is threatening and, you know, they couldn't possibly relate to that. It's wild.
Yeah. And it's just really like more than anything, it's just sad for them because those are the people who, I mean, I don't believe for a second that these are, people are not playing this game because of it. They just want to have, you know, a bitch about it online.
Oh, yeah.
But if they decide not to play the game, it's like, it's you're the one who's losing out. It's a massively, hugely successful franchise. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It's not going to change anything. And you can either make way for progress or, you know, come on board. And those are the options. Like you can't, you're either going to be stuck on the sidelines, you know, pining for a world that is, you know, from a bygone era, or recognize that, you know, things are progressing. Other people are being included in, you know, the conversation writ large, but especially in the world of entertainment. You know, I was talking to somebody again about Black Panther the other day and just saying that for years and years and years, people were being told you cannot have an action movie or like a superhero movie, especially this huge budget thing, with all black characters. It's too, you know, people in other countries won't respond to it. We won't be able to sell it. And it's the same thing with this that I know they got with this game, that it's like not only having a female lead, but saying we're having a gay lead as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that this company was just like, so fucking what? This is it. It serves the story. This is the right decision to make. And this is the story we want to tell, and suck it up.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember if it was a tweet of Neil Druckmann's I read, or the Last of Us podcast. There's a podcast where they go through it in depth with all the actors that play the characters and stuff. And Neil Druckmann said that he was getting, after the first game and the, you know, Left Behind DLC, he was getting approached by so many queer people, and he was getting like letters and fan mail from people in the LGBTQIA community saying how much it meant to them. And he said he was like quite taken aback, and so he was like, right, fuck it, I'm going all in, you know. This is means so much to queer people, let's just go all in. And when I heard that, I was just really stoked, because he could have, you know, you never know what way these game developers are going to go.
Right.
They could take that as a red flag and go, nah. Or they could go all in, and he went all in. But I'll tell you just how bad the trolling is, though, is I stream on Twitch. I video play games on Twitch and stuff. And every time I choose to stream The Last of Us 2, I've stopped now streaming it, but every time I choose to play that on stream, I get trolls who literally seek out the game, anyone who's playing the game, and they'll come into my chat and say the worst things, the just awful, awful stuff. Like, it's terrible. And there are trolls that seek out the LGBTQIA tag, which I have on my stream, and anything to do with The Last of Us as well. So if you have a queer tag or anything to do with The Last of Us, you just get bombed with trolls. It's really awful. Just these, like, I don't get it. And I got to the point where like I couldn't ignore, because my mods are always telling me, just ignore them. Like, but I can't. I'm like, fuck, what's wrong with you people? Like, just playing a game for a load of like-minded people who enjoyed the game. Like, it's just crazy.
And like, don't you have anything else to do with your time?
Exactly. What are you doing? Like, play a game you like and stop bitching about this one. Like,
totally. And like, is this actually fun for you? Are you like trolling people? Is the activity like a hobby that you want to spend all of your time on? I guess there must be people. There obviously are people who really invest themselves in doing this stuff, but
they must be so bitter, like just bitter and like angry people, because the energy to do that, I don't have energy for that shit.
It's exhausting. And just like being,
I don't even like being angry. I'm just like, it's hard being angry.
But you know, and I think at least some of that comes from people who have felt powerless in their own life, feeling like it's a way to be powerful with very low stakes, because they're hidden behind, you know, an avatar and nobody exactly. knows who they are, and they can do all this stuff anonymously.
Yeah.
But yeah, ugh, it's so gross. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross.
there's a queer like dance party, Zoom dance party called Club Quarantine. It's these kids in Toronto that started doing these cool. like dance parties. And for the first like few months of lockdown, they were doing it every night, which was very ambitious. But yeah. now it's like once a week, once every 2 weeks. And we joined one, and there were all of these trolls like Zoom bombing and just saying the most homophobic crap all over the chat. And, you know, they kept like booting them out, and everybody was just kind of rolling their eyes. And it's like a nice little community. There are a lot of people who come back a lot, but it's the same yeah. kind of feeling with gaming to me, that it's like, you know, let's just focus on the positive aspects of stuff. And if you really hate something, just don't engage with it. You don't have to play that game. You don't have to do anything in the world of gaming that you don't want to do. And the idea that yeah. it just makes you so upset that somebody else, a different kind of person, is getting the spotlight, is just like, oh, grow up.
I know, just move on.
Yeah, yeah.
And play Call of Duty or something.
right. Or, you know, the like late 90s version of Tomb Raider or whatever.
Yeah, exactly,
you know, when it was in your sweet spot.
PS1 Tomb Raider, yeah.
right. But yeah, I think with all like saying all of this stuff about how important representation is and stuff, again, going back to that idea that it's like not just representation for the sake of representation, it means something to the game. And yeah, the fact that like they picked up on like, somebody picked up on Ellie's queerness from the first game when she was a kid, and yeah. just said, like, I don't know if it was partially to do with like audience response, like people saying, I think I know what's going to happen when she grows up. yeah, just like really a logical progression for that character. And it feels like so natural and so right to me. And that's the other crazy thing. It's like, I just can't understand how anybody could see any other path for her.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that in the podcast, Ashley Johnson, who plays Ellie, talks in depth about it, and she said when they came to making Left Behind, Neil Druckmann came to her and wanted an in-person meeting and was like, look, we've decided to make Ellie gay. And she said, she went, I realized I was actually always playing her gay. And I didn't realize it till this moment. But she said, yeah, I was always playing her as a lesbian, and I didn't realize it. So she was already putting that energy into Ellie without even knowing it. And you can just tell, like, that's a great actor that can do that. Cause I could tell without that DLC, like way before, play it, just immersed in that game. It's like, this girl is gay. Like, she's going to be gay. There's no way she isn't.
Yeah. And
I'd be shocked.
Right. And I think so often with characters who feel queer in any kind of entertainment, if you think that in your mind, it doesn't end up, they don't follow through with that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Even if you're like, everybody knows that person is queer, it very rarely
never goes anywhere.
Right. So I think it's amazing that they actually said, like,
yeah. It was really cool hearing her talk about it as well and break that down. It was, yeah, it sort of validated everything that you as the person playing felt. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, yes, she was purposely doing that. It's really cool.
Yeah. And I guess that's another element, is employing really great actors to play these characters so that, you know, that really grounds it in reality too, like feeling like there are skilled people behind, you know, doing the motion capture and stuff, so it feels like, you know, natural movement and natural speech and all of that stuff.
Yeah, it's very well done.
Yeah. I am tremendously happy with this. This was so
great.
Much fun.
I love talking about this. I'm so stoked.
Me too. Thank you so much for making time for me.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again. Take care.
Cool. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, that was so much fun. Thanks so much to Pip for chatting with me. That was definitely one of my faves. I'm so glad that we can make it happen. Lady Hawk's brand spanking new album, Time Flies, is out this coming Friday, November 19th. So stream and download it to your heart's content. Okay, quick spark from me. I went to a screening of the new Ghostbusters movie over the weekend, and I was expecting it to be terrible, but it was really good. It's so rare for me to see a blockbuster movie that doesn't take itself too seriously and doesn't have a 3-hour running time. So it was really great to go to the movies for some pure escapist fun. I think it comes out this weekend, maybe. So check it out if you're in the mood for something light. And that's about it from me this week. I've got a Monday and Wednesday episode for you next week ahead of Thanksgiving, and I'm going to stick to that schedule for the rest of the year, I think. Outside of that, enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great weekend. And until next time, bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.